Welcome to a new episode of Policy Implications Podcast, where policy meets research. I'm your host, Olga Zadorozhna from Kosminsky University, where I teach and do research in empirical economics. My guest today is Dr. Anna Górska, who's an assistant professor at Kosminsky University and a director of Women and Diversity in Organizations Research Center. Today, we will be discussing her recent paper called Women's Journey to the Top, the Roles of Bonding and Bridging Social Capital, co-authored with Dorota Dobije, Zuzanna Staniszewska, and Kaja Przystupa-Żonca. This paper raises a very important topic of how social capital can help women achieve top management positions. So welcome, Anna, and let's get started. But before we dive into the discussion of the paper, please tell us more about your research and how did you become interested in this topic?
First of all, thank you, Olga, for having me. Thank you for listening and hearing about my research. And welcome all. How I've become interested in the topic of women in organizations. Well, the story has been quite long. I had always been a feminist. I had always had a very strong female role model as a child. So my mother is a businesswoman. However, I remember there was a lot of criticism towards her, that she's working too much, that she's working too long, too hard, being too strong, being too assertive. And I was, when I was growing up, I started to notice those, well, not so really subtle inequalities of how women are treated, how women are evaluated differently than men when we talk about strong top managerial positions. So, of course, I was a subject of it, of these stereotypes as well, in a completely different level, different context, but still. So when I went to the university, I found out that there are a lot of research connected with this topic. However, the majority of research was conducted in Western Europe, in USA. The studies conducted in Poland or in general in CEE region was in most cases in native language of researchers. So when I started my PhD together with Professor Dobija, we decided that we want to change that, that we want to make a research center that will be dedicated for researching women in organizations from Poland, but it will be published in top scholarly outlets and international journals. And this is how it all started. And the topic of social capital is something that we were also both interested in. I came across this article from Norway of how men and women build social capital. And we thought, nobody has done it in Poland. Nobody has done it in Central and Eastern Europe. But we want to make it a bit differently because we didn't do a comparative analysis. We wanted to specifically look at oral histories of women, specifically look only at women on how they built the social capital and how it helps them in reaching top managerial positions.
That's very interesting. And so in your paper, you do look at this social capital, and how do you define it?
Mm-hmm. So social capital, in majority of research, they use Pierre Bourdieu's understanding of social capital, who understands social capital as a sum of resources, networks, and actually the size of the network. But what we found in our research is that not really the size of the network matters, but the type of the network. So we considered Putnam's theory. Robert Putnam is a great sociologist who distinguished between bonding social capital and bridging social capital. Bonding social capital is between people which are like us, between family members, between people who are very similar to us. It is based on this very thick trust. It's like a mafia. He compared it to mafia. It's very, very exclusive. Bridging social capital, on the other hand, builds bridges. It is built on more broader network, the one that allows to go outside of this very closed network of friends and family members. And it's more like an orchestra. This is what at least Putnam used to say, that bonding is like mafia and bridging is like orchestra. It's based more on weak ties. It gathers a lot of different people. But in fact, we already know that those weak ties, that those which are not so closest one, the closest ones, are the ones that really support us in our career building. And we wanted to find out how women build those two types of social capital. But when we started interviews, when we started to do this research, we really didn't know where it would go. We noticed after some time that women emphasized the role of their mentors at the very beginnings of their careers. And afterwards, when they started to prospect very fast and started to get promoted, they talk not about mentors, but they talk about other CEOs, other top managers, about people that they met somewhere abroad, people that they met in their MBA courses, which are completely different than the closest environments they had in the beginnings of their career.
And so you now talk about the results already, but let's take a step behind and talk about what did we know about the social capital and the role of social capital in reaching top management positions for women and for men maybe before your paper. So what does the literature has to say about that?
So there were a lot of studies that would consider the importance of social capital. But again, very often it was based on Pierre Bourdieu's understanding of social capital. There were little studies that would distinguish between bonding and bridging. But in most cases, what research has done in case of women is that they would compare between men and women. And this is something, I know this is of course very interesting, but again, we are often treating men as a default and compare everything else to this default. And we knew obviously that the size of the network is very important, that the extended networks are very important for building career and success. We also knew that men are more likely to build networks that are in future more helpful, because men are not that afraid to utilize those networks, to maybe use it in more cynical sense. Women are more likely to build networks more naturally. They don't think it as a task, something that they have to build and utilize and further use for their success. And this is something we knew from previous research. But whether it was bridging and bonding, it was not known before, as this concept of Putnam was not very often researched from the notion of top managerial positions. We managers, the social scientists, really like Pierre Bourdieu's idea.
Right. And so in your research, you study Polish corporations. And what is the situation like with regards to the gender balance in top management in Polish firms? How does it look like? Do you have any numbers maybe?
Mm-hmm. So for the last 15 years, the situation is quite stable. It's just about 30% of women on managerial positions in general. But when we look more specifically on private and public companies, when we look more specifically at Warsaw Stock Exchange, it turns out that the situation is not so good, especially in Warsaw Stock Exchange largest companies. Women constitute about 14% of management boards, constitute only 6% as CEOs of those biggest, largest companies, occupy about 16 to 17% of supervisory boards and are head of them, chair of them, of only 9% of them. So the situation of women in Poland on managerial positions, on top managerial positions, it's not very good. I mean, it's not good across entire Europe. Surprisingly, in Central and Eastern Europe, it is better than the Western Europe, which was very surprising finding for me. This is something I found out quite recently because, well, there are not a lot of studies that consider Central and Eastern Europe, but I write my book about it. So this is how I found out, doing very in-depth research. But still, there are completely different expectations towards women. I mean, reaching the top is one thing. But when women are on the top, they have a plethora of barriers. They have entire labyrinths that they have to still go through, like labyrinth of being evaluated differently, having a quite large pay gap. The higher you go up the corporation, the higher there is a gender pay gap. Especially when we look at CEO positions, the gender pay gap may be up to 40%.
Wow, that's huge. Yeah, and there is definitely a scope for improvement.
There is, of course, a lot of place for improvement. And I hope that our research from our research center, not this only one, but we also have a different research, is one of the steps forward to change that, to make people aware of the situation and perhaps introduce some policies in the future.
Yes, exactly. And that's why we now record this podcast. So in your research, you have collected the data through interviews. Could you please tell us more about that? So what data did you use and how exactly did you collect it?
So we conducted qualitative study. Again, very often social capital is also measured quantitatively, but we wanted to really dig into the data, understand how women build the social capital. So we conducted 30 interviews with the women on board of directors, CEOs, other executives, managers on top managerial positions. And we spoke with them for about 40 to 90 minutes, but it was very personal, in-depth stories of their lives, stories of their success, stories of their barriers that they had, stories of their families, how they were brought up, what values they had. So it was very personal, and those interviews really changed the way I perceived women on top managerial positions, on how many barriers they still have after reaching those top managerial positions, because they talked about the labyrinth. Of course they did. But even if they are on the top, still there are a lot of situations when they don't feel appreciated, they don't feel heard, even as members of board of directors. So those interviews were very much in depth. I remember some of the women that we spoke with were very even emotional during those interviews. And this is characteristic of those qualitative studies, that they are to go very much in depth, to understand the core of the situation, to understand what is behind the surface. And I don't think any other study would allow us to go that deep. Certainly not quantitative studies. They would not allow us to have such a comprehensive and in-depth understanding of their lives.
Right. And so what are the results? What factors help women achieve the top management roles? And do you think they are the same for men, or at least similar for men?
With no regard to gender, I believe that extended network, this bridging network of social capital, is very important. And our study distinguished and showcased how those two different types of capital are built and used across different life stages. So definitely what we saw is that women at the beginning of their careers, in their first jobs, and then when they are in middle of their career development, they focused very much on building this close, thick relationship based on bonding capital. Women said that they didn't even think about building those bridging networks, as they thought, this is my role to work here as a manager. I'm supposed to give value to the company and not go out to breakfast and lunches and dinners with my friends. This is not my role. And only after they had great success, they reached top managerial positions. They had started to, their career started to develop on very fast pace. They started to notice this importance of bridging social capital, building more extended networks outside of their closest friends and families of people alike. And they started to build it in a very conscious manner, in a way that they understood that it can be helpful for them. And indeed, it was very helpful. What was a breaking point in their careers was their MBA studies and their going abroad. So we called it external shocks, when they were taken out of their normal circumstances, from their homes, from their normal lives and families, and put somewhere completely different. And this is also the time they started to build those extended networks, which turned out to be very, very valuable.
Yes. And so in your results, in your paper, what policy implications do you find? Is there a recipe for success for a woman? Is it, you know, going for an MBA, going abroad, or maybe something else?
So our results can be for organizations, for policymakers, and as well for women themselves. Let me start with women. I think this is the most important for at least for me it is. Women should build capital, should not be afraid to build this capital in a way that can be helpful for them, should not be afraid to participate in networking sessions, should not be afraid to say out loudly that they are trying to make a new contact, which may result in their future career. Men are not afraid to say that. Women, for some reason, still are not very much into this. So there are a lot of networks dedicated for women. In Poland, there is Sukces Pisztany Szminką, there is Sieć Przedsiębiorczych Kobiet. And there, those networks really help out to reach outside of our closest friends and families. These are the networks which may be very helpful sometime in the future. You never know when such network can be helpful. So my recommendation for women is to build social capital, to participate in those networking sessions, participate in those banquets, going out to golf courses, going out to dinners and breakfasts and so on. These are really helpful. I remember women were saying, look, I know this is important, but I don't have time. I have children. I have other home duties. I cannot just do it. So finding and having a partnership which is very equal and very supportive is also very important. So recommendation for those would be, leave your kids with your partner, don't afraid to go out and build some social capital. On the organizational level, we definitely need to build equal opportunities for all. Mentoring sessions, mentoring programs are very important. Encouraging women to participate in them, but also doing such parties and golf courses and banquets, not in the time when women have to take care of their children. It cannot be on 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock on Fridays when women with children have to take care of their kids. I mean, this has to also be considered. So there should be efforts of companies to develop such talent and career programs that all could benefit from. Maybe pay for postgraduate programs like MBA courses, maybe establish programs dedicated for mentoring women. From the policy perspectives, I am a big fan of quotas. I think that without quotas, we don't have time to reach real equality. Countries like Italy, like Scandinavian countries, really benefited from them. And I believe that the best talents can be chosen only when we look from the entire pool of talents. And if we know already that social capital is very important for career development, we also know from other research that men are more likely to build the social capital in a cynical manner and to utilize it afterwards. Why not build also national programs dedicated for mentors? Why not support NGOs and activists that support women in such organizations?
Exactly. Well, that was such an inspiring discussion, and thank you very much for those for the advice that you gave and for your research, because I think that's what women need, to hear those things and to hear those tips. And plus, they are the subject of a research, so it's not just someone's experience. It's something that has been shown and done in the research. So thank you very much, Anna. It was really an interesting and inspiring discussion, and I hope we will see more and more papers from you like that.
Thank you.